Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's Post Game Show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Bernier.
Man, yeah. All right, 3-2, the final score. Royals lose. You know what? I don't care what you say. That was a heartbreaker. I know some of you say that's not even possible. Vern, they're 41 games below 500. How can they break your heart? And you're right. I know, but man, I'm sorry. I don't know how to formulate a thought after that one. Boy, hey, if you have any good stories from tonight, if you were one of the 19,000 in attendance for this steamy Monday night at Kauffman Stadium, if you have any good stories, I'd love to hear them. I'd love if you were able to pick me up after that one tonight. Boy, oh boy. I was never comfortable, right? 2-0 Royals lead after the fourth. I mean, 2-run lead. Come on, it's a bloop and a blast. You know the Royals bullpen is going to appear at some point in this game, and as I've told you for the past few weeks, the Royals bullpen is going to allow at least one run 4 out of every 5 games. Now, that's not me being pessimistic. That's me being observant, me paying attention, me watching every single pitch of these first 95 games. Yeah, if you have a great story, if you were here with your family, taking your kid to his first game, you really enjoyed the nachos, you love the Bo Jackson bobblehead, my brothers and sisters, I would love to hear those stories because, man, oh man, I'm hurting after that one. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm hurting. It's not for Jordan Lyles. Yes, I wanted to see him win. You know, there's a part of me that's rooting for him now to get 6 victories. If you listen to Cody and Gold, you know why. If Jordan Lyles wins 6 games, Cody Tapp has to buy a bottle of Dom for the station. And I think a couple of bottles. So, yeah, I wanted to see Jordan Lyles get the win, but I mean, I'm not invested in Jordan Lyles, so that's not the reason. I don't know why this one hurts so much. You know what? I think the reason why this one stings, or this one, in my opinion, feels like a heartbreaker, is because neither team really deserved to win this game. It certainly didn't feel like either team was... I guess the Royals capitalized in the fourth inning. They take advantage of an error. But man, all you needed to do was watch the seventh and the eighth innings. Boy, oh boy, talk about a slow bleed. Royals up 2-0. Carlos Hernandez walks the first batter that he faces in the seventh inning. And right there I'm thinking, okay, leadoff walk. Denny's taught me this enough. Close game. They're going to blow this. So I start to get into my acceptance mode. Okay, they're going to lose this game. Everybody's going to want to blame Matt Cutrero for handing the ball to Carlos Hernandez. Okay, I'm prepared. But then Carlos gets out of it. Nicky Lopez snags a line drive. He strikes out Nick Maton and gets Andy Ibañez to pop out. All right, Royals still lead 2-0, bottom of the seventh inning, 2 on, nobody out. Drew Waters can't get a bunt down. Michael Massey gets Willie Mays robbed in center field by an extraordinary catch by Riley Green. Nicky Lopez goes down swinging through a slider, and the Royals miss a golden opportunity to expand the lead, to give this often shaky bullpen a little bit more breathing room. And then the eighth inning happens. A hustle double right out of the gate by Akil Baddoo. You know, credit to him. He was thinking double the moment that ball left his bat and grounded into the right field grass. Taylor Clark then hits Riley Green, walks, the bases loaded. And Q brings in Jose Quas, who throws four straight balls to walk in the first run. Three pitches later. Oh, I mean, I was on the verge of throwing up. I'm going to be honest with you. It was stomach turning. Watching Matt Vierling fight off that pitch and bloop it the other way. Over the head of Nick Prado at first base. Two runs come in to score. Ugh. And then in the bottom of the eighth inning, man on second, nobody out. Kyle Isbell puts a charge into one. Sure, it's to the opposite field. And yes, you wanted him to hit it to the right side. But Akil Baddoo made a sensational catch. I thought that was a gapper that was going to tie the game up and have Isbell on second with nobody out. But instead, Baddoo tracks it down. Bobby Witt Jr. gets ripped off. Strikes out looking at a pitch that was not a strike. Oh, my God. So, yeah, man, I need y'all tonight. If you got a good story from the game, I'd love to hear it because, boy, oh, boy. Now, if you want to be frustrated at Taylor Clark or Jose Quas, man, you go right ahead. I would like to think that I've prepared you to expect the bullpen to give up at least one run. Unfortunately, they give up three. They give up the game, and the Royals fall back to a season low, 41 games below 500. All right, the phone lines are open for you. Our number is the same as our text line number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. JD was one of the near 20,000 in attendance tonight. JD, hey. Thanks for the phone call. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, Vern, I was the one I was talking to you earlier. I had the rally mantis with me.
I know who you are. Yeah, no, I always appreciate you swinging by Craft and Draft, man.
So what I'm wondering is this. Okay, are they now not letting pitchers pitch 100 pitches anymore? Jordan Lyles had a great game, and of course the bullpen blows it. I mean, I'm just curious how hard it is to get three outs when you pitch, I don't know, every other day or whatever is it? Because I remember back when it was the 60s, 70s, 80s, stuff like that, they would let these pitchers go a lot longer. Is it because of the torque in the arms or what? Now listen, you have a good night.
Yeah, you do the same. Well, the reason why pitchers are handled differently in 2023 than they were in the 1980s begins with money, right? It's a completely different world, a completely different sport. You had collusion going on back in the 80s, but go back and look at what the big name starting pitchers were making. You know, look what George Brett was making. It's $1 million, $2 million. Jordan Lyles is making more this year than George Brett ever did. I don't have George's salaries in front of me, but I feel fairly confident saying that it begins with the cash. The amount of resources that you invest into these young starting pitchers, the veteran starting pitchers, the free agent starting pitchers. Yeah, you're going to take care of them. Now, is that the reason why Jordan Lyles was pulled after six innings? No, I mean, I would venture to guess that the reason why you saw Jordan Lyles throw six shutout innings, 83 pitches, and then get the hook and hand it off to the bullpen, my assumption would be is because it's been 11 days since he's made a start, went 87 pitches in that start 2 weeks ago. You know, is this game any different if Jordan Lyles comes out and pitches the seventh and puts up a zero? I don't know. I certainly won't sit here and act as if I'm agitated that Matt Quatrero pulled Jordan Lyles. Again, it's not very often that I'm going to blame the manager, especially when the team is 41 games below 500, but tonight's certainly not the night. Now, if I'm going to lay this loss at the feet of anyone, it begins with Taylor Clark. Now, Jose Kwas is going to wear some of that. I got to give Detroit credit. I got to give Akil Baddoo and Riley Green some credit. We got to acknowledge Drew Waters' inability to get that bunt down in the seventh inning. That was two bad teams. And the better of the two teams came out on top. And the reason why they're the better of the two teams is because they right now have the better bullpen. But as far as, you know, blaming the manager or second-guessing a move, I mean, yeah, you can go ahead and do that, but I mean, I'll be honest with you. You guys know I'm always managing along with the game or trying to manage along with the game. Now, since the calendar flipped to July, it's, with all due respect to these dudes, because I know how hard they're working, the bullpen to me is Scott Barlow and then everybody else. So, yeah, go whatever route you want. Matt Quatrero, Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, Mitch Stetter, and the rest of the coaching staff. They're all the same to me. Outside of Scott Barlow, you know, Taylor Clark, Carlos Hernandez, Nick Whitgren, Jonathan Heasley, Dylan Coleman, Jose Kwas, whatever. Now, maybe that's a bad attitude. Maybe I should be more locked in and, oh, you know, you got to go to this guy, not that guy. But no, not one of them, with all due respect, not one of them has earned that. Sorry. Scott Barlow, you're in a class by yourself. Everybody else, prove something to me. Yes, I like what Carlos Hernandez has the ability to be, but we've been talking about that since 2020. So yeah, even Carlos Hernandez, text line, yes, they're all the same to me, save Scott Barlow. Appreciate the phone call, JD. Always nice to see you before the games. And don't forget, if you're coming out to Kauffman Stadium this season and you feel like talking Royals with me, I'm always hanging out at Craft and Draft. It's on the Loge level. I'm out there 1 hour before first pitch, giving you a chance to win Royals tickets. I'll do it again tomorrow, 6 o'clock for the On Deck Show. I got two tickets to see Max Scherzer and the Mets come to Kauffman Stadium. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Man, I'm happy to dissect the X's and O's. I'm happy to take your thoughts on decisions that were made today by the players, by the coaches, you go right ahead. But if you have any good stories from your experience at Kauffman Stadium, I could really use the pick-me-up. Let's head over to Kansas and talk with Maggie. Maggie, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals fall 3-2 in the opener this four-game set with Detroit. Go ahead.
Well, I was in line for ice cream for the last couple of innings of the game, so I didn't see a lot of the bad parts.
So is that, do we blame you then? Like, if you would have stayed in your seat, would things have been different?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. So Maggie, you're raising your hand saying this one's on me.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call, and nobody's mad at you. I'm still going to lay this loss at the feet of Taylor Clark, Jose Kwas, Drew Waters, tip my cap to the Detroit Tigers defense, and then we start to point a finger at Maggie in Kansas. Thanks for the phone call. Charlie was at the game tonight. Charlie, can you pick me up after that one, buddy?
I don't know. I walked in today really excited, got my Bo Jackson bobblehead, and we were doing so good, going so strong, but correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that our 32nd blown game of the season? That's unacceptable. We were up, that's our 32nd blown lead. All
right. Charlie, I hate to say this, but it was actually their 33rd blown lead of the season.
That's even worse. I mean, that's just embarrassing.
Yeah, I'd love to disagree with you, but you're making too many proper points. Thank you very much for the phone call. Enjoy the bobblehead. It's a cool bobblehead, right? You got to acknowledge that. Yeah, Major League most 33 blown lead losses this year for the boys in blue. Last year, and we all acknowledge, last year was miserable. Royals are only three shy of their total from all of last year. 36 blown leads a season ago. They're already up to 33. And my friends, we still have 67 games to play. Daniel Lynch on the hill tomorrow. There you go. There's something to look for. Man, you actually got a very nice pitching matchup tomorrow night. A pair of impressive young lefties, Daniel Lynch and Tarek Skubal. I'm excited for that one. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. James in Kansas City, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, James, what's going on, buddy?
Okay, so I was at the game tonight, right? And it was the first time that I've gone with just me and my dad in years. So, I mean, it was up until, like, the eighth inning. Or so. It was a good game, right?
But when was the last time you and Pops went together, James? When was the last time you two went to a game by yourselves?
Yep. And, I mean, it was a good game for the most part, up until that eighth inning. And, I mean, we just need to work on our relief pitchers. That's just what we really need to do. Like, we have Brady Singer and Zach Greinke and Scott Barlow, our closer, but our relief pitchers need some work.
Yeah. No, you said it. You said it, brother. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. From Casey Moe to KCK, Yovi, you're on the postgame show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Vern, for having me. I just want to let you know that I called in a few weeks ago and I was asking you about if Ryan Yarbrough was going to start when he got back, and I just wanted to say, you said that if, like, something was wrong with the starting pitchers, that they'd put them in starting, and you were right. So I just love that I got to see my question, like, be unfolded. So thank you.
Yeah, hey, every once in a while I say something that turns out to be correct. Appreciate the phone call. We will see Ryan Yarbrough pitching coming up on Wednesday night. Pair of lefties going at it again on Wednesday with Ryan Yarbrough and Eduardo Rodriguez. But tomorrow, Southpaws and Daniel Lynch and Tarek Skubal. Yovi, thanks for the phone call. Set out to Blue Springs and talk with Tim. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. How are you, Tim?
Dr. Vernier, how are you tonight? Let me just give you some info. My My sweet mother and my dad went to the game. It was her first MLB game ever.
Wow.
We had high hopes, I'm not going to lie. But at the end of the day, I think she lost the game for us. It was that darn ham and cheese sandwich that she took 7.5 innings to eat. And then she crashed into the boards with the Dippin' Dots, buddy. I don't know what else to tell you, but she loved the game. She cheered. She stood for the seventh inning, and that's all I got for you.
Oh, well, get her home safe.
There you go, my friend. Keep rocking.
Yeah, you do the same. Thank you very much. Shout out, Mom. Mom, hope you had a good time. At least you got to enjoy the waterfalls, the fountains, waterfalls. Right? I mean, it's a pretty ballpark. If you're going to make your big league debut, not a bad spot to do it. And you know what? If you're going to go out in a blaze of Dippin' Dots, I can't hate on that. Although, Dippin' Dots should have caught on by now. They've always said, this is the future of ice cream. Well, they've been saying that for like 3 decades now. Does anyone have Dippin' Dots at home? Do you buy that? No. You're still getting that big old carton, taking your big old spoon and scooping it out. Dippin' Dots, I like you, but you're no longer the ice cream of the future. You're a nice choice if we're spending a lot of money on vacation, whether it's at the ballpark, it's at an amusement park, but, save it a little bit, Dippin' Dots. By the way, Dippin' Dots, I'm on the 6th floor if you want to deliver some, because it is toasty up here. Royals lose 3-2. We go back to the phone calls, and we go to Owen in Overland Park. Owen, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I thought I had a really fun time going with my dad to the ballpark, and the bobblehead was cool, but I felt like the last couple of innings with the hits really lost the game for us.
Who's your favorite player, Owen?
Probably Bobby Witt Jr. or Salvi.
Yeah. Do you have that Bobby Witt Jr. haircut? You got that long hair yet?
No, not yet.
No. What about a Mahomes haircut?
No.
Not yet. No. You know what? You got plenty of time to let that hair grow out. Man, I'm glad you had a good time with Pops. Thank you very much for the phone call. And you're 100% right about how tough it got there at the end. That's what we want, Owen. Those are the type of phone calls. That's what I'm looking for. I want some good stories. 19,440 in attendance. 15,000 of you walked away with the Bo Jackson bobblehead. I know the final score isn't what any of us wanted. In fact, it's still a little stomach-turning when I think about how that game finished. But I know there was a good story out there. I need you to pick me up because I cannot have another angry drive home. And that's what I do each and every night. I wear these games way too much. I should be able to separate myself from the final score, but here I am preparing to listen to some depressing music on the way home, sit on the couch, have way too many space campers. No, pick me up. Save me a headache in the morning. Allow me to listen to some nice tunes on the way home. Please, if you can. If you can't, I understand. If you can't, you can just shoot me your text message. Send me your complaints. Send them to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Let's stay in Overland Park and talk with Audrey. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the boys fall 3-2 to the Tigers. Go ahead.
Hi, I was at the game, and even though we lost, it was still really fun. I got a bobblehead to add to my collection. I got a big cone of ice cream from the Belafonte in center. Nice. The kid next to me got a ball.
How many bobbleheads you have, Audrey? We lost her. Or she just said, you know what, don't worry about how many bobbleheads I got, buddy. That's fair. That was a little nosy. None of my business. I get it. You're right. Let's go to Steve, who's visiting from Alabama. Steve, were you at the game? And if so, what'd you think of Kauffman Stadium?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We're on the baseball trip. We started with the St. Louis Cardinals and now Kansas City tonight on to Milwaukee, Chicago, and Cincinnati. This is our first game. My son Levi is here. Say hi, Levi.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah, so our first time, we liked the stadium. Loved the water fountain, the hot dogs, the free refills. So there were some positives tonight.
Free refills? What are you talking about?
I don't know. They gave us a free extra soda, so we'll take it.
Okay.
It's our favorite stadium so far. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, no, anything free, it's me, and I'll take three, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but we enjoyed it. Of course, not the outcome that we wanted to see, but yeah, enjoyable stadium, enjoyable experience all the way around.
Did the Cardinals win when you went to Busch Stadium?
We saw the doubleheader because Friday night just got rained out, so they lost 1-1 on Saturday.
Okay, all right. So 1-2 thus far. You're going to love Milwaukee. Make sure you try the secret stadium sauce when you get a bratwurst.
Secret stadium sauce.
Okay. Gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Steve. Safe
all
travels,
right,
buddy. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Let's go to Ben, who's out in Lawrence. Ben, you're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you got to blame Kauffman Stadium because I don't see Jose Kwas warming up until after the mound visit. So I don't know if the telephone lines weren't working or if it was just Quintero forgot to call over and help him warm up. And then he comes in cold and gives up three runs. So got to blame it on the stadium at this point.
All right, that's fair. And you know what? I'm sure John Sherman's listening right now going, yeah, you know what? Maybe I don't agree with it. But yeah, blame the stadium. It's time to move on from Kauffman Stadium, right? Sure. I'm with it.
Move
why
it
not?
To downtown.
Yeah,
move
you know
downtown.
What? Jose Kwas would have punched out Kerry Carpenter if this ballpark was in downtown Kansas City. I'm with you, Ben. Thanks for the phone call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, turn your radio down next time. Because then I hear myself yelling at myself, can't really stand my own voice. Anyway, let's head back to Overland Park. Let's talk with Paxton. You're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Way to go, guys. Keep picking me up. Go ahead, buddy.
So I was going to say maybe a complaint, but I want to help you out. Bo Jackson bobblehead night. I'm pumped I get to add one to my collection. It's probably my 12th bobblehead. I don't know, somewhere in between there. But me and my friend went to the game, filling out a scorecard is what we do. And ninth inning, Tiger center fielder, Riley Green, I believe is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to point in my direction of my friend, and I got him a ball, and I realized it's just little things like that that is so worth it to get out to the ballpark. Thanks for taking my call.
Sweet. No doubt. Appreciate it, man. Thank you for placing that phone call. Riley Green, he's one of those players, and maybe I'm alone in this. No, there's no way I'm alone in this. There's always a few guys in the division that beat you mercilessly, and yet I still kind of enjoy watching them play. You know, Tim Anderson, Jose Ramirez, anybody with the Twins? No, Jorge Polanco, I've had enough of him. Max Kepler had enough of him. You know, Byron Buxton, he's not in center field anymore, so I'm not going to put him in that category. But Riley Green, we're going to get real tired of that dude. Real. I mean, you might already be very tired of him. God knows he's beaten us. He's beaten the Royals a handful of times already, and he's only in his second season. But he is a fun ball player to watch. Man, that catch that he made on Michael Massey in the seventh inning, I didn't think he had a chance. And he was playing so far in when Massey, or excuse me. And I said that to Matt Quatrero after the game. Yeah, Matt Duffy is the name I'm searching for. Matt Duffy hit that ball deep to center field, and Riley Green made that Willie Mays style back to the infield basket catch. Oh, that would have scored at least one. Right, Freddie would have come around to score. That would have put the Royals up 3-0. But instead, Green makes the catch. Nicky Lopez strikes out. Royals remain up only by 2. And then Detroit scores 3 in the bottom of the top of the 8th inning, and that's our final score. Royals drop the opener of this 4-game series by a final count of 3-2. Yeah, I know we got to take a commercial break, but if they keep calling, I've told you, if they keep calling, I got nowhere to be. I'll keep taking your phone calls. Let's stay in Overland Park. Let's go to Jacob. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I took the friends out to the game tonight in right field. It's always good out there. We were pretty positive out there. Always stayed hype no matter what.
No doubt. Right field stays rowdy. I don't know how often you're out there, Jacob, but I know a lot of people that have been actually they call themselves the right field rowdies. And they get wild out there, man.
Yeah. We all, you know, we got pretty mad when they intentionally walked MJ because, you know, we talked to him a lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. One quick question.
I was surprised that they walked him, to be honest. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, it's a long shot. We were talking pitchers, and we're like, what would we have to give up if we wanted to get Shohei Ohtani?
All right, that's a fun question. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I'm the Angels, what do I want from this Royals organization in return for Shohei Ohtani? Obviously I want to begin with Bobby Witt Jr., but I would imagine the Royals say no to Bobby. Okay. Well, then I'll take Frank Mazzucato. Give me... Now, this himming and hawing is not a good thing. This himming and hawing that I'm doing right now in my mind is just a reflection of how much high-end talent is there right now in the minor leagues. I mean, there are good prospects. Most of them are down at A-ball. Yeah, I don't think the Royals have enough to get Shohei Ohtani, but come on, I got to be able to come up with a package. Mazzucato's the best pitcher. Who's the second best pitching prospect? Is it Ben Kuderna? Is it the local kid? All right, so let's say Ben Kuderna, Frank Mazzucato, give me Caden Wallace. There's a bunch of A-ball guys. You got to give me some big league talent. So give me Drew Waters and Michael Garcia. Okay, so Garcia, Waters, Mazzucato, Kuderna, and Caden Wallace. That still might not be enough. So yeah, that's where I would begin. Maybe you throw Vinny Pasquantino in there as well. Well, it's a fun game. It's a fun game. It's a fun exercise. I would love to see it. We would all love to see it, but yeah, Shohei is not, in my opinion, is not leaving the West Coast. And yeah, I think we'll all be sick if and when he joins the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hey, let's go to John and Kylie from Kansas who are calling us up. Hey, you two, how are you?
We're good.
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 Hey, so positive. So this is our first game of the year. So you get there and you spot Freddie Fermin sitting in the cleanup spot, and you're kind of like, damn, this is, how do you have too high hopes for this? But he rips the ball his first three times up, and then
we tried to start a "Let's Go Freddie" chant in the eighth, but it didn't catch on, which is really sad because I think it could have really helped him out.
But he did hit the ball hard a four straight times up out of that cleanup spot.
And I heard a "Let's Go Freddie" chant in his third at-bat. There was a group of fans waving the Venezuelan flag down that third base line. I loved hearing it because there's not a guy in that Royals clubhouse, which, by the way, is chock full of upstanding young men. I don't know if there's anyone I root for harder than I do Freddie Fermin. He's as pleasant a guy as I've come across in my time in covering baseball. So, yeah, you picked the right guy to cheer for tonight. Unfortunately, was unable to come through. The boys were unable to come through, but it sounds like you two had a pretty nice night.
Yeah, and it's just good to be at a close game where everything counts. And one thing I do think is, why does Samad Taylor not tag up from second on that play in the eighth inning? If he doesn't catch it, he can walk home. And if he gets to third, we tie the game. But that's all I got to say. It's just fun to be at a good old close ball game, though.
Yeah. No question. No doubt, John. Appreciate it. Get home safe. Let's go to Tyler, who was at the game tonight. Had a chance to talk with Tyler out at Craft and Draft before this one. Tyler, give me your breakdown.
All right. Well, I'm going to start by getting you fired up for tomorrow, because that's what you're asking for, and I think we all need that tonight. Daniel Lynch has two outings in his career with seven or more shutout innings. They are both against Detroit. So that's something to look forward to, see if he can do it again. But, I mean, I'll focus on starting pitching for the most part with this call. But I saw a couple nice opposite field swings from Nick Prado, MJ Melendez. I know things didn't go their way down the stretch, but those two have drawn the ire and frustration of a lot of Royals fans over the last 3 weeks. So any good approach we can see from those two is certainly helpful. Freddie Fermin, I will certainly join in on that Let's Go Freddie chant if I hear it next time. I don't know if any of us really expected him to stick for 2.5 months like this with a batting average around even above .250, but he just keeps getting it done, showing up when he gets his opportunity, when Salvi's out, and doing the job. So we appreciate him for that. And, I mean, you look back on it over the past week or so with these starting pitchers. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the best trip through the rotation the Royals have had since opening week, right? You know, when we were talking about, the offense is struggling, but the
right, but Keller the pitching and Buber, top five. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Top five in the American League. So it's been good to see. Hopefully Lynch can continue it tomorrow. I worry a little bit about if this bullpen gets bad enough and maybe the young pitchers start to press like the young hitters have been, but we'll save that for later. We got a lot of games left, so hopefully that won't unfold, and hopefully Daniel Lynch can get us going again tomorrow on another potential winning streak. Try and finally shoot down three in a row. So see you again tomorrow. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, astute point there at the end and a very legitimate concern. All right, we talk about Alec Marsh. Even a Daniel Lynch I don't think is above falling victim to the putting too much pressure on your shoulders. I can't trust, like you're saying, Tyler, exactly like the hitters. You know, sometimes when early in the season when Bobby's pressing or, last month with Nick Prado pressing, where you understand your importance to the team, you, in the back of your mind, know who else in that lineup is struggling and you're not trying to put pressure on their shoulders. So you say, well, my brother is struggling. A few of my brothers are struggling. So you know what? Put it on me. I'll go out there and I'll lead us to victory. And I know I don't think they can come through, so I need to do it. Right? And that's when Bobby started to try and do a little bit too much. Same with Nick Prado. Yeah, that's a very fair concern that when Daniel Lynch takes the hill tomorrow, he's going to be thinking, I got to go seven. I got to hold them to two runs or less because God knows what I'm going to get from my offense, and I know I can't hand it off to anybody other than Scott Barlow, so you know what? I probably should get into the eighth inning. And if you're thinking about pitching in the eighth inning in the first inning, boy, you're going to be lucky to get through the fifth inning. That's a very fair concern. Cole Ragans, Alec Marsh, Daniel Lynch, even some of those young relievers, guys that we could see get back to the big leagues, a guy like Austin Cox. I mean, I want to see him get back to the big leagues. I want to see him at least coming out of the bullpen, being a multi-inning reliever possibly. Tyler, great call as always. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. All right, the boss just texted me. I got to take a quick timeout. It's going to be a very short timeout. If you're on hold, stay right there. We get right back to the phone calls as the boys lose to the Tigers. 3-2 the final score. We get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
3-2 again. And Fermin laces it through the left side base into left field. Melendez sprints around third. Bedu throws home. It's wide. Melendez crosses, standing safely. It's an RBI double for Freddie Fermin. The Royals have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the fourth inning.
Four pitches later, Nick Prado would bloop one into shallow left field, plating the aforementioned Freddie Fermin, and the Royals were off and running, up 2-0 after the fourth inning, as Jake Eisenberg brings you the play-by-play here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. That 2-0 lead would last until the eighth inning, and then it would become a one-run deficit, and then it turned into the 68th loss of the season here in game number 95. Now, some of you might laugh at me when I call this one a heartbreaker, but boy, it hurt. It hurts because, well, it hurt for a number of reasons. I want to say it hurt because I'm having a difficult time finding a reason to be angry about it. Because I'm not angry at Taylor Clark or Jose Kwas. Again, like I've said, the Royals bullpen is going to give up at least one run in 80% of the games from here on out, in my opinion. Detroit made the plays to win the game. The Royals didn't. I should be used to that, but I'm not. Man on second, nobody out in the seventh inning and in the eighth inning. And that man never touched third base. That stuff hurts. So I'm asking you, if you were one of the 19,000 in attendance, pick me up. I know there was some good that happened out in the stands. We're hearing about the Dippin' Dots and who you were with, the bobblehead, free refills. What else? You guys are doing your best, but I need a little bit more. Phone lines are open. The text line is there as well. The J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's head back to Lee's Summit. Talk with John. You're on the postgame show as the boys fall 3-2 to the Tigers in game one of this four-game series. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, quick question. Was Lyles injured after six?
No.
83 pitches. Six innings. The veteran major league pitcher. Why did they pull him and give it to that bullpen?
Yeah, I got you. I understand,
I don't,
John.
Between that and Isbell leading off, it's like this manager doesn't want to win. He can't put together a lineup. He doesn't, you know.
Well, John, John, let me ask you just a quick question about the lineup. I mean, again, you know, Salvi wasn't available.
Right.
How would you give me your lineup? What would you do? I'm curious.
Okay, Isbell should be in Omaha.
No, I just want the lineup. How would you?
Okay.
Well, give me your lineup for tonight.
Well, Nikki leads off.
Okay.
Witt bats second. All right. Fermin batting third, the catcher.
Yep.
Drew Waters has been swinging a hot bat. Put him in the four hole.
No, you got me. You know what you're talking about.
And then Prado bats fifth.
All right.
And shove Melendez down as far as you possibly can. Because here we are. He's had a year and a half of major league experience, and he's batting 209. He gave up a double in the eighth inning, the eighth inning to start with a bad throw to the infield that was horrible. Just falling asleep on the ball. The runner saw it, turned it, got two. It's frustrating being a Royals fan for 35 years now. To see him run this lineup out with Kyle Isbell leading up, and you're pulling, that's one of the best games Lyles has pitched as a Royal. He was dealing. They had no clue. And why'd they yank him? Knowing that the bullpen, you know, if he had gotten one more inning at him, then bring Hernandez and then go to our closer. But they brought those two clowns in the eighth inning. And we gave a hard-fought 2-0 game away. And I don't understand, after the starting pitcher went 83 pitches and was dealing. He was on tonight. A veteran pitcher. He should have gotten at least 100. 100 pitches, he'd probably gotten two more innings, or an inning and a half. Wasn't showing any signs that Detroit had a clue on him. And that's where we lost the game, right there at the end of the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hey, appreciate taking my call. I'll let you get back to it, and enjoy the rest of the night, buddy.
Yeah, you do the same, John. I was letting you talk because you were making good points. Yeah. Obviously, you've been paying attention. Most people, when I say, hey, what's your lineup, they go, anybody. I don't know, Vern. I just you had a lineup, and I can't disagree with that lineup. So, good call, John. I got nothing to add. Herb is leaving Kauffman Stadium. Herb, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Royals lose 3-2. What do you think?
I'm home already.
Okay.
A couple of things. That last caller said something that I was going to say, that I don't think this manager really cares about winning. When you have men on base with two out in the eighth inning, you bring Barlow in to try to close the game out. Was Barlow available tonight? I didn't even see him warm up.
Yeah, he was warming up. He was getting ready to come in for the ninth that the Royals were able to capitalize on Samad Taylor.
He should have come in the eighth. One comment, I'll give you one positive. I mean, Lyles did pitch very well. There were 14 scouts, I heard, at the game tonight, and I'm sure they're looking at Lyles. But if they want to showcase Barlow, that's a perfect time to put him in there in the eighth inning. Let him try to get four outs if they can get, you know, some decent players for Barlow. That's a positive, and I am looking for positives, and I do see some signs of hope here. My wife is, she dies with every loss, and it doesn't really get you anymore, because you know there's only so much pain can be inflicted, but I have some hope for the long term. But they are, don't you think they're going to trade Barlow? And if they are, why wouldn't they put him out there tonight? And if they are going to trade Lyles, you know, pitching six good innings is fine. They didn't have to showcase anymore if they want to get somebody for him. But I'll let you comment on a couple of those points. And I do agree the lineup was pretty horrible. You know, Fermin batting cleanup and his belly. I mean, Garcia didn't play tonight. All he's been doing lately is hitting ground balls to third base. But I think he's better leading off. At least he can run, and he does hit the ball. And hopefully he'll be playing tomorrow. The other positive is the Tigers don't do that well against left-handed pitching. You take McKinstry, Green, Carpenter, they're all good left-handed hitters, and they could struggle with Lynch. I don't even think McKinstry plays against lefties anyway. But the Tigers are an interesting team, and you know, if they swept us here, they could really be in the hunt. I'll say a positive for them. But you know, if they can do it, if Cincinnati can do it, even Pittsburgh was doing it for a while, that's the hope that you got to have, that some of these teams that came out of nowhere this year can be in the hunt. But I'll let you comment. Hang out there after this. Thanks a lot.
No, great phone call, Herb. Appreciate it. Yeah, as far as your Scott Barlow point, I completely understand what you're saying, right? What a chance to showcase him coming in, bases loaded. Royals trying to hang on to a two-run lead. He collects a four-out save. Yeah, no, that would have been great unless he didn't. And I'm not saying you need to manage scared or be afraid. Yeah, I believe in Scott Barlow. I wouldn't have been opposed if Barlow comes in to face Kerry Carpenter there in the eighth. Sure, yeah. Now, there's the other side of it, the scared money side of it, which is, you know what, let's just make sure everything is nice and tidy for Scott Barlow for the next 2.5 weeks. Let's just make sure it's only clean innings. Let's make sure he's at his best. Let's put him only in positions to succeed. I'm not saying that's the right way to work. I'm just saying that's another way to think about it. Good stuff, Herb. Appreciate it, buddy. Eli was at the game as well. Eli, have you already made your way all the way back home?
Well, on a slightly more positive note, we had some great barbecue earlier today driving from Wichita, so that was a nice treat.
Where at?
The city. Zarda.
Where'd you have it?
Zarda's in Overland Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got one in Blue Springs, too. It's tasty. Yep.
It was really good. And then followed that up by making our way over to Kauffman. And my brother, he got us to meet with Trevor Vance.
Sweet.
So we got to go into the shop, and he took us on a tour of kind of down there. And we even got to sit in the bullpen, and I got to watch Zach Greinke warm up.
Whoa.
So he kind of gave us some weird looks because it's Zach Greinke, but, you know, he's probably feared that I was intruding in his space, but.
Well, I mean, I've never had a Hall of Famer look at me in a weird way, so you got that on me. That's pretty cool, right? I mean, you got one of the greatest pitchers in the history of the sport to go, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then we got to get the bobblehead, obviously, and then Belafonte. So I think it was a pretty successful outing, even though they lost.
Yeah, shout out Belafonte Ice Cream. Way to go. Appreciate the phone call, Eli. Yeah, that's a Kansas City Monday right there. Barbecue, Trevor Vance, Zach Greinke, Kauffman Stadium, Belafonte Ice Cream. Mic drop. You throw in a few space campers or those Southwest Boulevard. Yeah, shout out Spike in St. Joe. Hooked me up with one of those earlier today. Those are tasty. I didn't think I was going to like the Southwest Boulevard. Got a lime in it. I could drink a few dozen of those on a nice day. I'll tell you what. Hey, let's go to James, who's in Weatherby Lake. Well, not in the, you understand. James, what's going on?
So much. How are you, Vern?
I'm great.
Go ahead, James. I got my other James here. My boy went with me to the game tonight.
Oh, we got the junior. All right.
The Royals, I really like them. I have a Bobby Witt Jr. haircut because he's like my favorite player. Yeah. I also really like MJ.
Sure.
Do
you play baseball?
I don't play baseball.
Okay, that's all right.
So I went to the game tonight at the Bo Jackson bobblehead, and I got a foul ball off from Nicky Lopez.
What? I've never caught a foul ball. And you got one already? How old are you?
10.
Oh, you lucky dog. Well, make sure you hang on to that baseball, and make sure you try to convince Dad to bring you back out one more time so you can get another one.
I will.
All right, brother. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Tell your dad I said thanks as well. There you go. James and James, the law firm, dialing us up from Weatherby Lake. Let's go to Jeff, who's out in Topeka. Jeff, you're on the post-game show. What do you got for us, buddy?
Hey, Vern. Listening after every game here. So driving back from the game with my dad. Fun story. The last 16 games we've been to have been losses for the Royals. So farts. Can't call us fair weather fans.
No.
But another fun thing is I consider myself the leader of the Jose Cuas fan club. Tough day for me today, you know?
Yeah.
Just got his jersey, finally wore it to the game, sat right by the bullpen, got him to acknowledge it. You know, hopefully a cool moment for him seeing a guy in his jersey. And then thought he was going to put out the fire, but it just wasn't the day tonight, you know?
Hey, you got in his head, Jeff. You messed him all up.
Tough day. My bad, guys.
It's all good.
my real question, though, is being the leader of the Jose fan club, where do you think his level of security is in this bullpen? I know it's not the brightest spot in the world, but do you think he's comfortable? I heard Q talking about how he has the slow heartbeat, likes him against lefties in situations, but also I feel like it's kind of a merry-go-round in that Royals bullpen right now. So where do you view Cuas like this, right now and long-term?
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, as far as right now, the way that this coaching staff has used him really for the past 3 months, I mean, I guess that's the entire season, he's been the fireman for this team. Now, what do I see from him in the future? You know, again, this is just the latest example of I've been doing this too long and I'm getting too old and I've gotten very soft. So I hate how I have to answer this question. But if you're, and this is just my opinion, but if you're in the bullpen for a team that's 41 games below 500, yeah, nothing about your current situation is stable. Right? Think of Aroldis Chapman's already been moved. Scott Barlow likely will be moved. Now, like I said right out of the gate, to me, this Royals bullpen, with all due respect to each and every one of them and all the hard work that they've put in to make it to the big leagues, I'm not trying to knock them. But this Royals bullpen is Scott Barlow and then everyone else. Sure, some are younger than the others, so yeah, I invest a little bit more attention and focus when Carlos Hernandez is on the hill or Jonathan Heasley. Sure. But they're all the same to me. So Jose Cuas, I feel, has a firm grasp on a roster spot right now. Like a 40-man roster spot. But as far as his future, I don't know where Jose Cuas is going to be in 2025. I hope it's in the big leagues. I hope so. But relief pitching, pitching period is so fickle. Guys go from the man to out of the league in 12 months. It happens quickly. So I appreciate you being the leader of the Jose Cuas fan club. He deserves it. He is an inspirational story, and he recognizes that, and he lives it. I mean, this entire offseason, he's going to schools all across the Midwest, in New York, talking to kids, telling them his story, trying to inspire the next generation. He is a quality young man. He's got a terrific mindset, as Q mentioned, and you brought up. A very steady heartbeat. But it's a tough game. Again, it's right, the best players in the world. It's not easy. You got to have talent to get here, but you got to showcase that talent consistently to stay here. And boy, is that tough. So way to go. Keep promoting and keep playing the trumpet for your boy, Jose Cuas.
I appreciate you being the president of the fan club. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Royals fall to the Tigers in game one of this four-game series. Final score, 3-2. Let's go to Ed in North Kansas City. Ed, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Vern. You want to know why we lost this game tonight?
It's because of
Bo Jackson. If he hadn't gone to play football, he'd still be playing for the Royals.
Now you're right about that. No debate.
And then two other things. Your ball game's lost in the setup in the sixth and seventh inning. And one other thing, what's the Angels going to do without Mike Trout? They've gone in a tailspin. Who's going to bat cover Ohtani? All this stuff. So.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Who knows what the Angels are going to do? I don't know how you trade Shohei Ohtani, but looking at what the Vegas odds are saying, they're saying, I saw it's minus 300 that he gets traded. Personally, I hope he goes to Tampa. If he goes anywhere, I'd love to see him in Tampa because I love the idea of Shohei Ohtani playing in front of, 15,000 people for like a team that's 40 games above 500. People are like, yeah, but, it's kind of hot out and it's a long drive. I'll watch it on TV. Now, who knows what the Angels are going to do? It's, you have the two best players of the 21st century and you don't have a single postseason appearance to show for it. Furthermore, do you guys know the top four payrolls in Major League Baseball, not a one of them would make the playoffs if the season ended today? Sometimes it's not as simple as just spend money and that's going to equate to victories. Look at Detroit. God knows they threw money at everything for a 6, 7, 8 year stretch before their late owner Mike Ilitch passed away, and they were never able to climb to the heights that the Kansas City Royals reached in 2015. Tigers haven't won a darn thing since, 1984? Zach Greinke was 1 year old when the Tigers last won a World Series. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Thanks to our friends at Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. We appreciate your support all season long here on the postgame show. Let's go to Michael in, or excuse me. Yeah, do we still have Michael? Yes, sir. Michael in Lawrence. My apologies. Go ahead, brother.
Hi, I just wanted to say that despite the tough loss today, I will say my girlfriend and I were able to enjoy our very first Royals game together, and it was awesome getting those bobbleheads, of course, and getting to see all those hearts all around the stadium.
Did you guys take some nice pictures for the gram?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Got to. How many pictures does she make you take? I mean, or maybe you're with it. Is it one picture and then we're done, or are we taking like 6 or 7 and finding the best one of the bunch?
Basically the second one. I give in, though, because, she's got to get the good picture, but yeah, I do too as well, so it doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, man. Yeah, when you find the right one, you whatever you want. It's just so long as you're taking the picture with me, we could take as many as you want.
We'll definitely have to do that next time, for sure.
There you go. Michael, appreciate the phone call. Thanks, brother.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Dan in KCK. Dan, how you been, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Josh. Yeah, it was a tough night. Yeah, last pitch, a great game. The bullpen, I have confidence in Klaus coming in there again the final out. Even though it didn't work out tonight, and 7 more days, Josh, at the 40-year anniversary of the Pine Tar game with George Brett. I remember it very well. Washington again, the infield, Dale Murphy, then Martin Young, Goose Gossage. You all had a knack of getting on, for George, So let's take care of the Tigers tomorrow.
Let's try. Yeah, we'll see what they can do, Dan. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go up to North Kansas City, the future site of the next Royals ballpark. Nope. Oh, we lost, Ed. My bad. Sorry about that. Oh, we do. Oh, we... Okay, let's go to Topeka and talk with Boston. Boston, what's happening?
Hey, nothing. We just went to the game today, and it was a pretty cool experience,
For sure. What stood out? What would you like about it?
I like the fans. They were pretty loud today. And we went last year, too. And I got to see Eric Hosmer's return.
Oh, nice. Wow, what a game to go to. Yeah, you weren't expecting that when you bought the Red Sox ticket. Certainly weren't expecting Eric Hosmer to be a Red Sox, were you?
No, it was on my birthday, too.
Oh, nice. All right, what birthday we got coming up in a few weeks, then?
August 4th.
Okay, August 4th. That is, I believe that's Brady Singer's birthday, too.
Oh, that's cool.
I think so. And it's weird that I know that. But, yeah, Boston, happy birthday, and I'm glad you had a good time tonight, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
All right, let's stay in Topeka, talk with Ethan. Ethan, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Driving back from the ballpark today. And I haven't heard anybody comment on it, so I figured I'd give it a call. Okay. I know the Royals have preached for the last 10 years or so how aggressive they are on the base paths, and I suppose that's borne out on the stolen base leaderboards. But when it comes to almost assured outs in the outfield and tagging up, I was sitting in right center field or left center field tonight, and bottom of the eighth, Maud Taylor on second, and you know, Isbell hit that ball out to left field, and it was, you know, pretty deep into the corner. Badu was turned back, making almost a basket catch, and Taylor standing halfway. And I mean, you know, I haven't played baseball in a number of years, but it seems to me that if he's standing on second, he's going to score if that ball drops. And if he doesn't, if it's not dropped, if it's caught, then he's going to be standing on third. And then maybe that changes the scenario with Bobby coming up with a runner on third with one out. But, you know, maybe I'm just a little too aggressive, but it seems like there's a lot of times where, you know, if they wanted to really be aggressive, they could take that extra base and maybe put pressure on the pitcher and the defense, but they go for that. You know, maybe this major league outfielder doesn't make the catch, which seems kind of unlikely a lot of the time, but, you know, just a fan in the stands, but I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Yeah, no, Ethan, appreciate the phone call. Someone actually did bring that up a little bit earlier in the show, didn't really discuss it further. But yeah, yeah, that to me is a fair point that you're bringing up, a correct point that you're bringing up. Honestly, off the bat, I thought that was going to fall. I did not think Akil Badu was going to be able to pull that one in. So that's my vantage point. I thought it was a double in the corner and Taylor would trot home. My response is, and I have not spoken with Samad, but just my opinion, my experience says, you know, Samad has what, a dozen games under his belt? I think it's a young player trying not to lose the game rather than being, you're right, aggressive. And I don't know if it would have been overly aggressive. I mean, personally, I'm a fan of the, if you're not getting thrown out on occasion, you're not being aggressive enough. Yeah, I'm always foot on the gas pedal guy, especially when you're 41 games below 500. But I can understand the thought process of a 24-year-old that is still trying to find his footing in the big leagues. That is, again, I think this is what, game 12, game 10 of his big league career. He's trying not to make the second out at third base or get doubled off. You're right. I'm not disagreeing with your point. It's a sound, astute observation. But it's my opinion that the inexperience and the, I'm certainly not going to call him timid, but the calculated mindset of a Samad Taylor of what, you know, in his mind, he's thinking what can go wrong rather than what could go right. It's a lot like young hitters when they put the pressure on themselves in big spots at the plate rather than knowing that the pressure's on the pitcher. You got to come to me. But it's hard to explain that to a young hitter who's up there with the weight of the world on his shoulders and the eyeballs of everyone in the world he feels like are on him. So he feels the pressure rather than putting that pressure on the pitcher. That's my thought on what happened there in the eighth inning with Samad Taylor. Great phone call, though, Ethan. Always happy for to hear a fan's perspective, even if it is, as you said, just a fan in the stands. That's all I am. That's all any of us are. We're all just fans in the stands unless we were actually on that field. And Ethan, I know I've never been on that field, at least not in between the white lines when it matters. Let's go to John in Kansas City. John, you're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say me and my wife were at the game tonight. The game was going good until Quas came in. I don't blame Quas, and I hate to be a negative Nancy, but I'm blaming the umpires. I was sitting in section 425 right over home plate, and two of those pitches were strikes. And it was just like ball, walk the guy. He goes to second. Another one walks the bases, walks in a run, and then I looked at my wife, and I was like, we're going to hit a base. They're going to hit a base hit, and it's going to be 3-2. Watch. And I called it, and I was like, and then I blamed Quintero again, the coach. He just he leaves his pitchers in too long. Lyles was doing a great job. You shouldn't have pulled him. I just don't understand the coach. I wish we could part with him, but. Bring in somebody else who really, gives a crap, sorry. But, I'm just saying they just need to bring in somebody who cares. And I don't think this coach does. And, I hate to be a negative Nancy, but me and my wife, we had a good time. And appreciate the call. And you have a good rest of your night, okay?
Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
You do the same, John. Thanks for the phone call. Glad you and your wife had a nice night at Kauffman Stadium, a steamy night at Kauffman Stadium. Yeah, going back and looking at those pitch locations, Jose Quas to Kerry Carpenter, bases loaded in the eighth inning. Royals clinging to a 2-0 lead. Yeah, looking at it on MLB game day, all four of those pitches were nowhere near the strike zone. So I don't know how you blame the home plate umpire for what happened to Taylor Clark and Jose Quas there in the eighth inning. Home plate umpire Doug Eddings. Now, I thought, him ringing up Bobby Witt Jr. in the bottom of the eighth inning, I thought those were questionable. How about Spencer Torkelson? Even Spencer Torkelson's walk to load the bases against Taylor Clark. All four of those balls were nowhere near the strike zone. Says Q pulls pitchers too early, but he should have left Lyles in there longer. The only thing I'll push back on is, Matt Quatrero does care. maybe he doesn't show it in the way that you want him to, but let's just push back for a second and just think about it. The guy's been in baseball his entire life. He has interviewed for countless managerial jobs. He's been a bench coach, a hitting coach, a minor league manager. This has been his life. Do you really think he's going to get a big league managerial job and not care? Okay, maybe he doesn't show emotion in the way that you want him to. Maybe you want more. You want Mike Matheny. I'm not saying one way's right, one way's wrong. I got a lot of respect for Mike Matheny and a lot of respect for Matt Quatrero. But to say that he doesn't care is, respect, that's silly. That's silly. Of course he cares. Of course he cares. And if you think that a different manager would make a difference, personally, I disagree. I don't know what you've seen over these 95 games where you go, and this Royals team's a lot better than what they're showing. I don't again, put together the lineup on your own and tell me that this team is being held back by its manager. Maybe you can convince yourself of that. I disagree. Doesn't make me right, doesn't make you wrong, but I disagree. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Travis in Lincoln, Nebraska. Travis, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how's it going tonight, man?
All right. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hey, a little feel-good story for you here. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nice.
I worked all day long today. I drove 3 hours to get to this game. Brought my son with me.
Nice.
Got to get a Bo Jackson bobblehead.
Heck yeah.
Got to get a baseball from the game. I've got the complete bobblehead set, so it's one of the reasons we come down to the game. Got a game ball from every game I've been to since 2014, just about.
Oh, my gosh. Like you're catching them?
No, I go to the Authentics and buy them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Royals
I've never been lucky enough to catch one, man.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
But now I'm on my way home. I'm driving another 3 hours home. And it's going to be after 2 o'clock before I get home.
No doubt.
And I am a Royals fan, and I would come back tomorrow if I could.
Well, God love you. I can tell you this, that a lot of the individuals at the very top of this organization listen to this show, and I got to imagine they're smiling. You hear people say, oh, this guy doesn't care. This guy's only in it for the money. You know, it's fans like you, Travis, that I would imagine inspire these guys to work harder and to give you a winner, hopefully sooner rather than
there's
later.
There's no part of me that has any doubt in my mind that these guys care.
Right.
These guys care a whole lot. They put the best team they can together. Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe it does. Unfortunately for us this year and for the recent history, it's not worked out very well. Mm-hmm. Right? But I've got total faith that it's going to happen. You know, we've got to be on some kind of precipice where things start getting better. It can't get any worse. And well, I love what Lyles did today. He pitched an awesome game. Love seeing him come out there and do that, putting everything forward. Too bad they took him out, but, you know, if they would have left him in, he'd have given up the 2 or 3 runs, and we'd be cursing his name today. Right now.
Yeah.
So,
Travis, appreciate it, brother. Thanks for the phone call.
Hey, thank you.
My game notes following this 3-2 loss are presented by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Jordan Lyles, 6 scoreless innings. 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Lyles, the third time in a month that a Royal starting pitcher has spun 6 scoreless or better. Daniel Lynch against these Detroit Tigers less than a month ago, June 20th. Brady Singer did it against Cleveland on June 27th. And now Jordan Lyles tonight, 6 innings of shutout baseball. A little sneak peek of what's to come at MLB.com. I was sitting next to Annie Rogers during the games. She's got a nice little piece coming out, a little gamer following this one that shows just how solid this starting rotation has been since the second half of the season picked up. Now, the rotation has been solid. The rotation has been solid. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll hear from the solid Jordan Lyles after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
He comes set of the bell. 3 balls, 2 strikes. The pitch. Flicked in the air, shallow right, Massey runs over, Prado's there too, they nearly collide, Prado makes the catch over his shoulder. A little humpback liner on the infield dirt on the right side, and Prado, who was playing in, holding on Carpenter at first, broke back on an angle and made the grab to end the inning.
Jake Eisenberg on the call here on 610 Sports Radio. Speaking of Jake, he just tweeted out the video of what Shohei Ohtani just did. Oh my gosh. Not only, well, you know all about Shohei Ohtani, the greatest weapon this game has ever seen. He also just had the greatest bat flip I think I've ever seen. It just does not stop with this dude. A no doubt opposite field home run to tie it up at 3 in the 7th inning. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. I'm sorry, you got to hear it.
There's a fly ball left center field. Did he get it off? He flips the bat. Bader's at the line. side. Shohei Ohtani. Wow. His 35th home run.
Yeah, 35 home runs now on the season. 75 RBI. I've never seen. Well, yes, I have. The only time I've seen this much emotion from Shohei Ohtani was after he punched out Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic. My, oh, my. And yet, it still feels like we take him for granted. I feel like I should talk about Shohei Ohtani on the Royals postgame show at least three times a week. Yeah, we're in Kansas City. Yes, this is a Royals show, but he's the greatest weapon the game has ever seen. Wow. Unbelievable. We'll hear from Jordan Lyles coming up in just a matter of moments. By the way, Royals lost 3-2, the final score. It was a heartbreaker. If you don't know how they lost, check out the podcast, All Things Vern podcast. I explained it earlier in the show. I can't talk about it again. It'll make me sick. Let's go to James in Kansas City. James, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Just got home from the game, and you were looking for some pickups. And yeah. One thing that I found really positive being out there tonight is it was always a beautiful night at the K. Scott's Kitchen, barbecue for dinner, always a good time out there. Is the amount of fans in our section that hadn't been out to a Royals game for a long time due to the promotion, which seems silly, but yeah. It reiterates to me the love and passion of our fan base. You know, it took a guy who hasn't played for our organization in three decades to draw a crowd out tonight on a Monday that was larger than any of the games or the weekend against the best team in the AL. And it just reiterated the belief of this fan base is really good and diehard as long as we have the players that we can attach to and have, you know, longer than 5-7 year stints with them. It's good. It was good to see that. It was good chatting with people who literally came out and they said they hadn't been out there in years and came out simply because of memories they had of Bo and of that time frame. And it was just a good experience to share with my kid. I had my kid with me. And hopefully Bobby Witt can become that for him over his time. You know, we can figure out how we can keep Bobby here.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Yeah, speaks to the legendary status and the reverence that I think all sports fans have for the great Vincent Bo Jackson. And as far as, yeah, Bobby, I'm not going to compare anybody's athleticism to Bo Jackson. But in that tier just below Bo, yeah, it's Bobby Witt Jr., But Carlos Beltran, Willie Wilson, yeah, you got to put the cream of the crop up there. But hey, T-Shirt Tuesday coming back, that always brings people out. Yeah, people love free stuff. People love bobbleheads. Anything Bo Jackson's going to bring people out. Yeah, glad you had a good time tonight. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to John in Overland Park. John, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hello, Vern. Good evening,
sir.
As always.
Yes.
I'm going to keep it positive because that's how you wanted to start the show. So my positive is my best friend and his son wanted to go because it was bobblehead, so I gave him my season tickets, and I didn't have to suffer through there again tonight. But the one thing I am at, because I always listen to your show, even though I wasn't at the game tonight,
thanks,
is
man.
I'm tired of the anti-manager queue. Terry Francona could not win with this team.
Right.
I don't care who you have that give the guy a break. I mean, the execution on this team is so bad. You know, can't lay down a bunt to move runners. You can't throw strikes. I mean, it's a brutal year. But, you know, everybody in the world wants to blow the team up, which, you know, losing sometimes breeds losing and they can't get out of their own heads. But when you can't execute as a big league hitter, you know, too many times it's like they're trying to bunt for a hit and not just square up and get a bunt down, you know what I mean? But in the walks this year, all year, we know how bad that's been. But, but hey, the positive, I know you suffered through it and I apologize for the team, but I did not suffer through a loss tonight seeing it.
And you're going to be the hero, right? Not only did you save yourself, but I was nice enough to bless him with a Bo Jackson bobblehead. Meanwhile, you were able to save yourself a night of distress.
My best friend and my godson. That's how great it was. Yeah, I get to be a hero and didn't even have to suffer through it. So, as always, my friend, God bless you, and you have a great night.
Yeah, right back at you, buddy. Appreciate it. A few text messages I want to read. Kelly from Smithville. Vern took 4 grandkids to the game tonight. They all got a bobblehead, so 4 out of the 5 of us were happy. My bobblehead's great and all, but to lose this game tonight wasn't what I hoped for. No doubt, Kelly. From the 913, Vern, I got something good for you. Did you hear about the stray cat that lives underneath the Bally Sports tent? No, I haven't, but I have seen 2 stray cats outside of Kauffman Stadium right around Gate D. I see them most nights when I'm walking to my car. So yeah, I would imagine it's the same stray cat. Kathy in Raytown writes in, my daughter and her husband went to the game tonight. They got their picture by the heart of the KC Scout. Fern, they got married under the real KC Scout. They've been married 13 years and have been going to games that entire time, in good times and bad times. And Vern, my mom wonders why Lady Luck isn't on our side. Yeah, Lady Luck. Lady Luck hasn't shined on Kauffman Stadium in quite a while. You know, draft lottery starts this year. Are you freaking kidding me? You know what, Lady Luck, I got a message for you right here. That's what I think of you. Hi, Gabriel. Gabriel, I appreciate you listening. I see your dad says you guys went to the game. 7-year-old Gabriel, hope you had a good time. Wants me to say hi. Says next time you want to come meet me. Well, I hope you do. Out at Craft and Draft, I'm out there before each and every game. From the 816, Vern, I went with my dad today, so that should make you happy. Are you guys calling me hokey? Calling me a softy? Well, you're right. Yeah, I love hearing that stuff. From the 816, Vern, first game with my dad since Mike Sweeney was on the team. Yeah, we had high hopes, and we were sadly disappointed, but man, I loved hearing stories from my dad's childhood going to games. Well, kudos to you for wising up and realizing, man, I might as well ask some questions. Might as well try to explore the old man a little bit. Yeah, don't wait too long to start asking those questions to learn about, well, whatever interests you in the past. One more from the text line, then we'll hear from Jordan Lyles. From the 816, Vern, Royal Blue forever. Had my 2 daughters in from California. We're going to 2 games this week with the entire family. Signed, Nico. Well, good, man. Have a good time. Hopefully you can swing by Craft and Draft and say hi before one of these games. Royals got 3 more with the Tigers. We'll dive into that coming up in a moment. But first, let's head inside that Royals clubhouse. Let's get Big T in there first. Big T and Shawnee, man, it wouldn't be the longest postgame show of the season if we didn't hear from you.
Man, what a show, Vern. I'm Paul. I've been out of commission a little bit. That Saturday night show, though, Vern, that was wild and wacky. It must have been a full moon.
Oh, God,
the kooks were out, baby. But, Vern, what a great show tonight, man. You know, I got a personal – Bo Jackson, man, he's a legend, everybody. I remember back in the day I used to work for this Italian guy over in Park Cleaners, Vern. We used to do the Royals uniforms, and I got to meet that physical specimen in person. He's a goddess, Vern, and he's a legend. I'm glad everybody came out tonight to get their bobblehead. And, Vern, I heard you talking about being kind of, you know, let down and disappointed. I feel it, Vern. I think the reason is, Vern, it's not about Jordan Lyles going good and the young guys. It's about victories. And I know it's not one about victories earlier, but if we want to avoid those dubious losing streak records and in an overall losing, we've got to get a few wins. And I think that's why that hurt tonight. But, man, Jordan Lyles, way to go tonight. And Vern, I listened to your on-deck show. Bobby Witt Jr., he's a star, everybody. And I'm glad he's making people eat their words in the text line and the callers. You know, he's making you look like fools, everybody. This guy's a star. Stick with him. We're seeing his five tools on display. We can all dig it. And, Vern, what about Triple F tonight? Fabulous Freddie Fermin. That's a positive. That guy, every time he gets in, somebody's on base, he just drives them home, Vern. I wish Salvador Perez to get back healthy. And, Vern, I want to get a three-game winning streak. How about everybody jump me aboard too. That? And this and tonight, too, let's end it with this. Great calls by everybody, all their children's calls and all the guys out there taking their people to the game and having a ball. That's what baseball is all about. It's about family, love. It brings the city together. And Vern rocks. And so does 610, and so do the Royals. Choo-choo! Choo-choo-choo!
Yes or no, do you think Bo Jackson has ever been called a goddess? Like, to his face, do you think anyone's... No? Here's Jordan Lyles to Bally Sports Kansas City following six shutout innings and a no decision.
Freddie and I were pretty efficient through six. The one inning of a little bit of traffic. Just a clean, efficient outing tonight from us. Freddie and I, we threw it pretty well.
The mix of pitches seem to be fairly balanced throughout. I mean, how do you think that kind of kept them balanced?
Yeah, we definitely threw more curveballs and changeups today. Probably threw 10-plus changeups today. I probably hadn't done that in years. Just hadn't had a changeup to rely on. Getting more comfortable with that pitch. And then we started landing the curveball from the get-go, so we relied on that throughout the game. So I'll look tomorrow to see percentage-wise of all the pitches, but I would assume it's a really good mix tonight.
What about the changeup has made you most comfortable with it this year?
Yeah, just tinkering with it in between starts, different grips, watching Edutronic, which is a very fine slow motion, watching the ball come out of the hand and seeing what the numbers show up analytics-wise, and just finding a grip and a mindset, conviction-wise, of being in a good spot with. And the last two starts, we've definitely relied on it more. The last two starts
allowed you to get the swing miss on it too. There was quite a few
times. Yeah, I noticed that during the outing. I would probably account that to a little bit stronger mix of pitches. And like I said, relying on the changeup was there. Probably threw 10, 12, 13 of them. I can only recall one kind of bad one, and luckily they didn't swing at it. So it was there for us tonight.
All right, there you go. That's Jordan Lyles. Thanks to Annie Rogers of MLB.com asking the questions there. Jordan Lyles, ladies and gentlemen, last four starts. A 3.13 ERA. I don't know. Those are the stats. I'm not saying you need to freak out about it. Hey, Blake Schneiders, great job. That was the longest postgame show we've had all year. How about it? I'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 o'clock for the On Deck Show. Take care, Kansas City.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled program.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.